Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And can we also look in Romans? Romans chapter 9 and verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah had also conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children not being yet born, neither having done any good or evil, the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. And as it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And I was struck this morning when we were talking about Samson. And we were talking of how he was given such a place of privilege and a place to be given to do the work of God. And he went about it in a way like he was had it by rights. It was something that was his, and that was his alone, and he could do whatever he went with. And I'm sure at points he did understand truly that it was from the Lord. But when he was at Delilah, and when he played with that four times, with the secret of his heart, that last time he came up to loose himself from the Philistines, and there was no strength in him, because he thought it was his by right. Well, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to loose myself, and I have it. No, it wasn't there. Why wasn't it there? Because he cut off what was his vital link with the Lord, that which gave him the strength. But even more importantly, I think the point that we need to see in all of this, and in connection with these two portions of Scripture, is that God has no obligation. If we remember in the Garden of Eden, it was a man and a woman who sinned. God had put them in a place of innocence, in a place where they could have communion with God. And it was the man and the woman there, Adam and Eve, in that Garden of Eden, which took themselves from the place of communion with God and brought themselves low to the earth and low to sin and death. And the interesting thing is, in a sense, what obligation did God have to do anything about that? This was something that man had done to himself. This is something that we have done to ourselves. What obligation does God have to come here and to do anything about it? Because there's a place prepared for the devil and his angels, and that is hell. And that's the place that we can go to. Simply because we live. Because we have lived in a nature which is an enmity with God. Everyone these days, I think the pervasive thought, at least I see in the universities and college, and I would say it's the American thought, is that if you believe in God, God is love and God is all wonderful and we're all his children, etc. And, you know, I'm sorry to say that what we're doing is missing the point. Because most of us then would have heard of the love of God. And it is so wonderful. But what of the wrath of God? What of the wrath of a sin-hating God? Because it is in this time we live today, in the day of grace that he has given us through his love, and the opportunity to be redeemed unto himself, because he's provided a way. But when this day of grace is over, if it ends in our death or if it ends with the Lord's coming, then the day of grace is done. And should we not know the Lord, and should we not know God through him, then what of the wrath of God? And I would hope that that would set into our hearts. And even as we've seen here in Romans, tell me, what obligation, as we even see later in this chapter, digress, why did God have to choose Jacob? Some would say that's not fair. He chose Jacob. He didn't choose Esau. Well, I would say, why did he even choose Jacob? Because he wished to have a people called according to his name. And so he has even given the opportunity for such a great privilege to come unto him. And that privilege is on the behalf of his son. And our brother was talking about the parents who can try to console you, could try to help you, perhaps when you've done something wrong, perhaps when you've done something that is just wrong or even has serious consequences, whatever they may be. And our parents can try to help, and I'm sure we can all feel the pain that our parents would be through if we would do something. But the pain that our parents would be through, what is that in comparison to the pain of the Lord? First of all, considering the pain that he suffered on the cross, on a cross that wasn't prepared for him, in the sense that he didn't have to die on that cross, but it was prepared for him because there was a special purpose in it. He came to die so that we could live. And so if we consider the pain that he went through, in those hours alone from God, on a tree, in the most cruel way of death, at the hands of his own creation. It said he came unto his own and his own received him not. Certainly that might be part of the Jews, but can we not see all as all of creation as well? That we would nail him to a tree because we want to have this man to rule over us. So if we consider the pain that he went through just for our salvation, and then could we consider that he's offering it to us freely today with no strings attached, no works that are needed. We see in Romans that there's no works. It's simply a gift. I would say many can't comprehend the fact that it is nothing to do with works. But can we comprehend a God in his perfection who can have nothing to do with sin? How could man, who has lowered himself to sin nature, ever do anything that could amount of any substance to come back to God? So now we have a Lord, the Lord Jesus, who died on that cross. And he's giving this gift freely for us today. And perhaps we could think of what he is seeing now. He's seeing a world that he died for. A world that is sitting here in all the glories and festivities of the day, which are nothing but a remedy, a medicine, only Tylenol. Because the Tylenol doesn't take away the sickness, as I know, it takes away the pain. And that's all that this world is doing. It's not taking away the sickness, it's not taking away the sin, it's just making all these good systems that cover up the pain. And so it's fooled us all. But the Lord is seeing this. Seeing this creation which he died for, the people in this world, us, here today. Seeing those who do not know him yet. And think of, perhaps, what he is feeling. Just as the parents who can't do anything for their children. Not he can't do anything, but just as the pain the parents would have for their children are going in a way that is not right. Think of the pain. Think of the suffering that he had on the tree for us. And even now seeing that we would just continue in a way that would be pleasing to our own hearts, having no thought of the consequences to come. Because wasn't it the same thing with Samson? Having no thoughts of the consequences to come? But today, I guess, just to present that there is a loving God who has given his son. And if we could stop and think about that, I think there's only maybe five people here who would have sons. And if I could just venture to say that if we would ask them if they would give their sons or give a son so that someone else might live, that would be a question that they would be very burdened with. But God gave his son. And not just a son who was going to die anyway someday, just like Chuck's son's going to die sometime. Maybe in the next 50 years, I don't know. But Jesus didn't have to die. He was God. But God said, I'm going to send him to die and take upon himself the sins of the world. And perhaps we could consider that. And what that would mean to us for what he's done to us.